evening, and a warm welcome to the service this evening, and a special welcome to those who are worshipping from other congregations, and Scalfi and Leverborough in particular. It's good to be together tonight, this evening, and it's good to again have the Reverend Inesheen MacDonald and the Reverend John Murder MacDonald with us this evening. John Murder will be leading the service, and we look forward to what the Lord has to say through him, and both John Murdo and Inesheen will be sharing a word of testimony at the fellowship after the service, and all are warmly invited to stay behind for that, for the time of fellowship, and to enjoy some of the refreshments that have been prepared. The service tomorrow morning will be in Gallican. It will be at 11:30 here in the community centre, and that service will be led by the Reverend Inesheen MacDonald. And just if I could, on your behalf, thank the Reverend Inesheen and the Reverend John Murdo for the ministry over the course of this weekend. I'm conscious a lot of people who are here this evening won't be present tomorrow morning. So just on your behalf, as we're all together, can I extend a thanks to both ministers for all that has been shared over the course of this weekend. One or two notices just to highlight before I hand over. First of all, there will be a retiring collection following the evening service, and that will be in the aid of Bethesda Hospice. And then there are various meetings in the course of the week. Ladies' Bible study meets tomorrow at 8 p.m. and the First Fruit Fellowship at 7:30 on Tuesday in the Church of Scotland Hall. The prayer meeting is on at 7:30 on Wednesday here in the Community Centre. It'll be a shorter prayer meeting, and it'll be followed by a congregational meeting where we are required to elect congregational property trustees. Before we can look to acquire any properties, we need to have trustees to have that position within the title. And so it's an important meeting, and if the congregation, as many as possible, can be present at that, that would be much appreciated. Challenger Bus Community Fund Day takes place during the afternoon of Saturday, 28th of May, which is a wee bit away. If anyone's able to help with this opportunity for outreach, please speak to Lucy Tour or Marion McLean. And two dates for the diary, 17th of June, congregational meal and AGM. And Saturday, 25th of June, joint barbecue at, where is that again? Shillabosh, yeah. Shillabosh. And that will be joint barbecue with Leverborough and Scalpay congregations at Shillabosh Beach, Saturday, 25th. More details to follow. These, I think, are all the intimations, and now we hand over to John Murdo to lead us in worship.
Thank you, David. Thank you for your welcome. And again, we give thanks to God for the opportunity to worship Him together and to pay His blessing upon our service tonight. The psalmist says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labour, labour in vain. And we pray for God's Spirit to guide us and lead us in worship this evening. We're going to begin the first part of the service, a singing and a prayer in Gaelic. So we'll sing Praise God in Psalm 107, and we'll sing three verses in Gaelic from the beginning of the psalm, Psalm 107. O hig of hook of mollum moor to year is fuyuchus faran, or hi a mic smaddy to bra, a talker, grass for turn, pop of Jehovah, hear a glitch, wavrum a shrimp to tal, a voice of a runes serve, a mat or wine and ale. Is as gach peron is gach chir, so frenichig iad leis, so nardin yed, so nardin yed, so nardin tua is yes. We'll sing these three verses to God's praise, and after we've sung, I'd like to ask Dan if he would come and lead us in prayer. O who give mobile more to ye, is foyachus farin.
Thank you. journey. Oh, yeah, grass for me on this year. Shake a hemage and a spirit of a dog walk. A horn of the air and not the shale. Oh, hook of Waller, more to you. Who's Hanurung and Shanigiana, but a mock of Akin. A curtu, Jesus, curtu, to repeat with Seth Behes, curtu, Gragishina, the later voice, Kundukutunian, Vish, Night Room, Snarm, Night. Agus an ochr hir ni gyr am eich gyrraedd, bych yw gysedd behedd y glach gyw sŵws le siwfan le gysyn. Ysgag yn dwgw sy'n gyw sy'n ach dyri a sio. Ach dys di halab eich sy'n môr yn gyda gynnwch gynnydd o las. Sfarth y fach gyw sy'n, sfarth y flas sy'n, sfarth yng ngwyl yn sy'n, sfarth y lais eich sy'n, dy gachdol na beth. Sy'n gyda fan le fyd eich ras fawr yr son. Lwyd dwy'r chwlwys yn ysgol a chwyr gynnu jws fe eich iodla a gais yn dwys mae'r achgol byw. Si'n gael dyfal o fi eif sain dy hachgrys yn ychwyd yn ceil y fachgol gynnu. Agus y fi'n i chosel edrych gynnu, cwyddi yn dy gais. Agus i bwrst chdiwys dy ddechrau'n chesi. O, chrwyed. Nach i andwch, bydd gynnu hawdd wedi leid agus y fes yn iawn. Dy gafodd gwybod sydd yn y fach yn wasyd yn talw, hwys chroi yn iach at yna'r mai, ar o ffiwg yn ffyn gdeun. Ach ta'n gwybod dy gyrraeth ar fiannus, yw gwrdd o llach, ond o'n hir iach gan ymysgol fwy. Hwys as yn siar iach gyda mae'r wawn ach diw hyn, hwys y mach gwys y spirit. A wedi'r rhywun o'ch gwybod slwg ac yd, gan cost o'ch dreidson. Ac wedi cyrt o'ch lŵw. Rhyw at ymolwg y hir nyr sôn gyndig a fedd crwhw gysestio lai. Sgyndig a gaglod y fec ymael y dwt mor o'n y sŵr lewn. Ac wedi sgyndwch o ddeg e'n trwsgan glor fawr sgyndwch o ddeg trwsgan fiol fawr. Sgyndan i gan nwas gofio colwch dy sy'n iogyn i hannig e hyrw. Da iog a seg o'r spiachgi. Ac wedi sati i ddyn i gen i'r soliad i gynnu, gyda fe yn ys piachgi gydrynu gan a piachgi gyda'r son. Ac wedi gydrynu am o lai ti yn dych, ond y fi ti anu sy'n. Rynu gael sy'n a piachgi gach a bwybiad sy'n, a ddyn ti anu na ffydd an dach dryd sy'n. Sy'n och gyi a sy'n at y falwg. A sy'n dychwyd i'n, sy'n sy'n gwylw haes dy gael piachgach gyda'r diwsyn. Ac wedi gysio mae ddw, sy'n casau ddw chwyd â'n dweud ysyn y bydd yn fawr sy'n o'ch. Ta'n gydio gwyl a ffyr, gwyl sy'n ffyr yn o'ch gwyl o gael ffiach o'ch gadew sy'n. Sma'r bych a fwych dynion ni hod o gael yn oed ddw. Na dy laeth, a sy'n gyr i hyr nwy gael dyfodd. Yr sy'n gydw hyn a tydd y chwydys, gyr o'n ac yd sy'n. A'n dwyd roedd sy'n i gyn. A sy'n gadw fawr fi gael graes ffordd fiannau ti'n gwrdd. Eith ddif ti'n ma di o'n gwylw nes mas i chi'n awlwch bawn yn dynes. Gwyl graes ydw gwrst yn at y fyw. So y mas i'w chas y chwlw cael a fydd y chwydd has y chwrst. Ond y fi ti'n ei agnes i'n dhwyl a sio. A y mas i'w chas y stafl. A y mas i'w chas y rasiws. A y mas i'w chas y nas i'w chas y satan y fiach yn dydwch ymal o'n ych rand chesi. A chwle cael hi'n lych gyfeg yw effiach yn dydwch yn fawr gan un i bwrs gwrdd hodd swrs. Ygys fai segi, oedd fai olus mi'n edrych agi, edrych obydd ffydd an dach gei. Fe comach dwch yn fawr gan wyr i brwg yn nath i dylwy. Fai segi yn edrych agi dy chrwmwg ar y chryn chesi, gan bas o chwn, rol alys. Ach ta'n gwych di gael gras ffyrfiannus, dwi'n gwybod eich iawn brwg wlad. Agus gada hwgau rhwg eith dy hal. Dysgwys yn clac yn gydannwch grwy o fesyn. Agus gysio'r ei twyliw hedd. Hedd eich hain galwch dysgwys yn dysgwys yn ligalus. Os yn dwyl a sio. Mwrs anna hiwr nes i gyrwyd yr ywyd y fal o gyrsan gydach o gan o'n dwy. Sgyndw gwbwy o'r ysgyndw ieddi, sgyndw gosgyl sgyn nhw ag an o'n dwy gyr yn eich hesw. Mae'n eisiau ni ddim yn syniadach yn y rhaid. Sy'n teori ach gyng eisiau sy'n ein ddim yn ychydig yn sy'n ffeibio. Mae'n rhaid i gael gras ffordd yn eich yn och a sŵr a sy'n ei gyrru. Roes i'n ei gwlwch o'r hasyn sy'n gyrru troch gyda'r na'n amyr. scroll over to get the spirit on with the pure Nisla to give grass for. I was with you on the bus and you in your house, Daniel the Horst. I was going to wish good to what I was going to do to our Vicky Mach. I was going to go to the Dish Kanyak, who I'm going to have in Chida Mitchell Kahila. I can go in with who I'm going to handle Loch, a shady, and the Kuth Paras, and the Pio, Saka the Mallum. I was a Kiri with the Nurse Hugh Kosian. I was a Yegras for the Anahitia. And I was a Kuth on the Mets, I was a Kuth on the Rakhatish, Polish Lewis, the Slur. I should get the ball of the hero in the Sons Quillu, Shalting in Nahel, Gurg in Hart, and United Miss Marva, Quilfer in Yasu, the Tinusi, Theatre Boy. When you walk with inclined and say the Feskin, the Kinaltagamus Theatre, the Halberdy on the Hall. So she gave a grow hill and beyond the Huskan Glee, the Huskan Bechugle, Banya Bla and Hushkan. I was the glasses at large in the life beer train. Oh, we were yet to know, we shall come to you with tea. I was a doon of his tenu, senior in you, and the horse of Hula Sashkal, had the blear in the chance of has to hear Nick and Pianish of Hogarth, can doon of his tenu, grow in, Gan Birig Nang the Urchins can do it go. Goyolus of Stain, Mandik, the Rochatus Lehe, Yedinish. I was going to do the school and the Husker Foskel at the school and the Shiriach Kaif in Jurgach Sofail, a high bull of Hugora. Oh, we have new with Entroch with Orn, Stentroch with Orn, Mariach, Smarilan and Smar Steeden, Smargachi and Smar Hulishan. Och, Gus who will grow here, we have a torch to get the spirit Orn with the Pioshin, who is never. Or to be close at on the feed and the Maladu. And the Hainian of on the hill, heaven like in her show, so she got the Maluga from the Hachrigan. It was Hachkel blast the love of that thing, she suck in the air grass for the Annachia. The Willow Hill comes with a bit of kitchen more in the Senator, so she could grow hair and glare. And the slant of Kuzbuggers engine, Kavi, Labashkit the Clues, Kavi. Turkish Kintoshkar on Nahti Shinel, Pianish and Kohanola Shogatalu, Stoklo Hishu, Hassing Hum, the Shinikiri here knew that the Walloga the Hans, the Sonic Yishach, it was the Sonic Yishachs and Pujach, it was Isaac and Yihirna, Grossishi and Tulisha Gusavidach, and Entliach, how Celtic Ukinjanu County, the Stinit and Caravan and Connors Tree. I was not the news of any here, I'd be a commas of Cunha Vikimach. I'd have had a stirring of it to shoot. I still get in this floor, and the machine could have laughs. I should hear it to be an actor of machine, secure a grow in, a cool of a guy, a dirty was at the foodie. I was crocking, even said again, with the gun of a hunt of Lord. And the hindering Nochnahal cordings, the horny recording, your star, and Avignacken. I was a sugar strip like Grohein Manidu, Haravilat, and you knew Scatiri about what Hanil went to Hingaloch with the Chamble of Yanta. Ach, I was doomed in Haravilu with theory. Ach, Kinish Kasmorish to Noska in Yoinik, Nahalju got the law, Nagat over, Nakwil of Heskin the law, Shamar law, at the Yalistish Kahloila. Oh, ye grass, Harashinikiri, Grohein of Hospulus Hulun. I was growing and crying as the Hinnit and as a villad. I have got the Henskin Hoshem in his hollow, and I had the villad Nashesa. And the Shinin as she heard on the video of the Edens, Shane to Hlu, Spanish dog to hang on the feedings, Kahok to Hela Madden. Oh, I should have to follow the sons, fear to be unlocked to be over. As Kahnius at the Jan, if Jan is glacier, smacking good grass for the Kahkin as Kahkius, Amen.
Well, let's sing together from the Mission Page number 296, I stand amazed at the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, and how marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love. Thank you. Let's now turn to God's Word. We're going to read a passage from God's Word as we find it in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 13. And we'll read from the verse mark 44 down to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 13, and we're reading from verse 44. Let's hear the word of God. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, he asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Amen. And we pray God would bless this reading of his word and that he would speak to our hearts as we turn to look at this passage in a few minutes' time. But we'll continue now to sing again in Mission Praise, number 383. Mission Praise 383. Jesus, the joy of loving hearts, true source of life and light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to you again. Mission Praise 3:8. Just before we come to look at God's word together, let's again bow in prayer. Lord God, as we turn indeed to your word, as we turn to Jesus, we pray that you would empty us, empty the minister and the congregation, in order that in the next few minutes you can fill us, you can fill us with the truth and the grace and the mercy and the peace and the forgiveness of your word in Christ. And that the Word become flesh would stand among us in his risen power and speak to each heart that is here gathered. Help us indeed just to look to Jesus for his sake and for his glory. Amen. Well, this evening we're going to look at a part of the passage that we read there together, and the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. That's in verses Matthew 13, verses 44 and 46. 44 to 46. We're going to look at that together. But before we focus on that, I want to begin by asking a question. I want to ask if anybody in here has heard of someone called Gary Kildall. If there's anybody who's heard of, you can nod your head or you can put your hand up. Anyone heard of Gary Kildall? No? No. Okay. Well, in 1973, Gary Kildall wrote the first popular system for PCs, for computers. He called it CPM. And in 1980, IBM approached Gary Kildall about using his system in their computers. But Gary Kildall didn't bother to turn up for a meeting that had been arranged between him and some IBM executives. The day they called to see him, he chose to go and fly his plane. He bought a new plane. And quite understandably, the executives from IBM were quite annoyed. And they went to speak to another man. Has anybody in here heard of Bill Gates? IBM went to speak to Bill Gates. And the rest, as they say, is history. A friend of Gary Kildall, a man called Paul Carroll, wrote a book about this. And he said, Gary Kildall was a smart guy, but he just didn't realize how big the deal was. He just didn't realize how big the deal was. And he lost out big time. Now this evening, in this church and in many other buildings and across Harris and Lewis and across Scotland and across the world, God comes calling. And God is offering what you could call the offer of a lifetime, a big deal. It's a big deal. And yet, I suppose if we were to have a guess, probably about 90% of our community here don't think it's a big deal. Because I would estimate probably if Tadworth and Harris are similar to other places in Scotland, about 90% at least of this community tonight is doing something else, has decided that they have something more important to do than to meet with God tonight. They don't think it's a big deal. They don't realize how big a deal it is. And again, as I said, Jesus tonight comes calling. Jesus Christ is with us by his Holy Spirit in this room. And he reaches out to people who haven't already met with him or given their lives to him or accepted him as their Savior and as their Lord. He comes to meet with all of us. But in particular tonight, I think through this passage or through this parable, he speaks to those who as yet don't know him. And I think we're going to discover that this is a big deal. In fact, that it's the biggest deal of all. As we read through the Gospels and as we read Jesus' teaching, we see quite clearly, it becomes apparent, that his teaching is focused on the kingdom of heaven. Again, we've seen in these parables, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. His supreme focus was not so much on moral or ethical teaching, although there is much moral and ethical teaching in the teaching of Jesus. He is focused rather on spiritual teaching, spiritual truths concerning the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He began his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 and verse 23. The kingdom of heaven is near, repent and believe the good news. We find that in Mark's Gospel too. He sent his apostles out proclaiming the same message. The kingdom of heaven is near. So Jesus, at the heart of Jesus' teaching is the kingdom of heaven. And again tonight we're going to look at two of these parables that speaks about the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. So what is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus speaks about? What exactly is he talking about here? He's not obviously talking about a physical place. Rather, he's talking about a spiritual reality. And here is how one commentator, a man called William Hendrickson, describes the kingdom of heaven. Hendrickson says, the kingdom of heaven is the glad recognition of God's rule over our hearts and lives. The kingdom of heaven is the glad recognition of God's rule over our hearts and lives. Note the word glad. It's not a grudging recognition, but a glad recognition. It's a joyful thing. And what Jesus is saying in the parables is that the most important thing for all of us, indeed the most beneficial, the most precious thing for all of us, is to willingly, to gladly submit our hearts and minds to God's rule. Not to grudgingly give in to God, because we have no choice in the matter, but to willingly come and bow the knee to Christ and make him, gladly make him Lord of our lives. The kingdom of heaven is the glad recognition of God's rule over our hearts and lives. Glad, joyful. And indeed in these verses that we've read, verses 42 to 44, Jesus makes clear that this is the most precious truth that we can know. He calls it a hidden treasure. He says that it's a pearl of great price. I wonder tonight in here how we view the kingdom of heaven, or how we view the rule of God over our hearts and lives. How we look at that, how we consider that. Would we consider it to be a great treasure and a precious thing? Maybe there are a number of people in here tonight to whom this treasure is still hidden. To those of us who have acknowledged Christ and received Christ, we have no doubt that it is the greatest treasure and that it is precious. But maybe there's people in here tonight to whom this treasure is hidden. Maybe you can understand tonight a grudging submission to God's rule. But you don't really see it as a good deal. Maybe you don't even see it as a big deal. And indeed, maybe right now you are experiencing a grudging submission to God. Maybe you're in church here because somebody else has asked you to come, or if you're a young person, maybe dragged you along, or maybe an old person. Maybe right now you're experiencing a grudging submission to God just by coming to church. And maybe it brings you no joy. And maybe you haven't even considered that it's even possible for one moment that submitting your life to Christ, to God, would bring you joy. If you haven't understood that, then let me tell you, you are missing out on life's greatest treasure and God's richest blessing. But you are within touching distance of a hidden treasure and a pearl of great price. Let's look at these parables together. The first thing that we notice, I think, about these parables is that there are differences here between these. We talk about two men, one man who found a treasure, one who found a pearl. There are differences between them, and we can look at that first. There are also similarities. Let's look at the difference between them. The first man, he stumbles across this treasure quite unexpectedly. He wasn't particularly looking for any treasure. It was hidden, and he comes across it, very likely digging in a field, and suddenly before his very eyes, he sees this amazing treasure. Now at that time there were no banks or building societies. It was quite commonplace for people to bury their valuables in the ground to keep them safe. And perhaps, we don't know, perhaps a previous owner of the field had done just that, and maybe he had died without letting people know where he left his valuables. Again, we don't know, and possibly this man had rented the field. And while he's out digging, his spade hits something, and there we are. Hidden treasure, this most wonderful treasure he's come across. We don't know how it happened, but we know that it happened. This man was not looking to find treasure. And yet he comes across it quite unexpectedly. Now that can happen, and it might happen to somebody in here tonight. Because God deals with many people in that way. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul. The last thing that Paul expected to find was a great treasure in Christianity. Quite the opposite. He considered it quite worthless. He went around severely persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ. And yet suddenly, just like that, he's confronted by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and everything in his life changes. And over 20 years later, this is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I consider them rubbish, but I may gain Christ. Quite out of the blue, like the man in this parable, Paul discovers hidden treasure. He realizes that knowing Jesus is the most important and precious thing in heaven or on earth or anywhere else. And God does sometimes deal with us in that way. Isaiah 65, verse 1, I have revealed myself to those who did not ask for me and have been found by those who did not seek me. I don't know, maybe tonight God is going to deal with someone here in this very way. Maybe someone in here tonight who is really not expecting to find treasure in church will meet with Jesus Christ. God will undoubtedly do that today, whether here or in some other place. And as Ian was talking this afternoon about C.S. Lewis's autobiography, it's called Surprised by Joy. And C.S. Lewis suddenly came across Christ. And he was confronted with Christ. He discovered God's kingdom. He discovered Jesus for himself. And he called his autobiography Surprised by Joy. Wouldn't it be great if someone in here tonight were surprised by joy? Suddenly realizing in the midst of an ordinary service that they have found the greatest treasure that they could possibly find in Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is here. He promises to be here. He tells us that where two or three people gather in his name, he's there by his Spirit. And Jesus Christ keeps his promises. You see, God will definitely do that to somebody somewhere today. Somebody somewhere will be today surprised with joy as they meet with Jesus Christ and realize that he is the greatest treasure and a pearl of great price. Why not here? It would be wonderful if God were to do that tonight. I really pray that that would happen. The second man was searching for treasure. He was looking. He knew there was a precious pearl out there somewhere. Something so beautiful and precious that if he found it, it would give his life new meaning and purpose and joy. And for years this man had been diligently searching. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe tonight in here you have been searching. Maybe you've been coming to church for years. And maybe you've been looking for something that will change your life. You know that some deep down that there is something missing in your life. That's something that you need. And you hear about Jesus Christ, and maybe you like exactly as you hear about it. But as yet you just haven't found him. Have you been searching for, you really wanting to believe and trust in God? You know what God is seeking you to. And he has a promise for you. And that promise is in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. If you seek after God, you will find him. And the reason for that is that God is seeking for sinners in Christ. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened up to you. Now that's not me saying that. That's God's promise. And you need to hold on to that promise if you are seeking. And if you have been seeking, and if you've been coming to church for years, God says, keep asking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. So we see that there's differences between these two men. But of course, there are also similarities. Look at the similarities for a few minutes. Firstly, this is important. They both recognized the value of what they'd found. They both understood that what they had discovered was precious. They both realized this is really important. This is precious. Unlike Gary Kilnall, again, the question for us is, as today once again, God comes calling and Jesus Christ reaches out through the gospel and presents us with the truths and the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. Do we recognize their value? Do we recognize and realize the true value and worth of Jesus Christ and his gospel? Do we understand that they are hidden, that he is a hidden treasure and a pearl of great price? Now, I'm sure there are many things in life that we place value on. We all have our own value systems. We value our homes and our money and our career and possessions and relationships. But what about the gospel? What about the kingdom of God? How much is that deal worth to us tonight? Or do we not think it's a big deal at all? Well, Jesus says clearly it's a big deal. Because there is much stake here tonight. First of all, there's much at stake here tonight because there is much to lose. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And what Jesus is saying is that our souls are at stake. This is the biggest deal of all. Bar none. And what Jesus is saying is that our souls are at stake. Jesus makes very clear, probably clearer than any other person who has written or spoken through the Bible, that there is an alternative to the kingdom of heaven. The two passages on either side of this, the parable of the weeds and the parable of the net that we've read, make that very clear. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How I wish I could say to you that the reality is different. But I can't. I can't. Because Jesus Christ makes clear that there are two options, two alternatives. G.K. Chesterton said this. He said, hell is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human personality. Because God is saying to us, you are significant. I take you seriously. Choose to reject me. Choose hell if you will. And I will let you go there. So how much is it worth to you to save your soul from hell? It's a big deal. Because there is much to lose. It is also a big deal because there is much to gain. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. What price can we put on having life to the full? Of knowing God's love, God's presence, God's peace, God's strength in this life, and being with him through all eternity. What is it worth to me to know that all my sins are forgiven, that I am eternally secure? What price can I put on knowing God as my Father? What price can I put on knowing that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me? Jesus says, in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now these are words that got Jesus into a lot of trouble when he walked this earth. They are words that still get him into trouble. Because people say, that's really awful. That's so arrogant, claiming that there's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. And yet, as a sinner who knows my need of forgiveness, I know that I need to come back to God. As I look through history, and as I look through religion, and as I look through mythology, and as I look through all of human experience, I can find no one who says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. I know of no one else who has said, I have died for your sins. I can find no one in history or in literature or anywhere else who says that, who makes the claims that Jesus Christ do. And I know of no one else to whom I can entrust my eternal soul, because no one else says, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come and receive you to myself, so that where you are, there I am, there you will be also. What price is it for me to know these things, and to know that my soul is safe and secure, that God has provided for us, for me, in Jesus Christ, the Savior, who has died for me to save me from hell, to pay the price for my sins, so that I can become a child of God? To those who believed in him, Jesus gives the right to become the children of God, children of the King, princes and princesses. You know, in this world, people strive for position. Jesus offers us the position of being princes and princesses, children of the King. There is no greater promotion, if you like. There is no he makes us through faith in him the children of God, princes and princesses. What price is it worth? What is it worth for me to know that? What is it worth for you to know that? And this is not something that we should acknowledge grudgingly when you think of it, but reach out for gladly. Receive into our hearts and into our lives. It's a big deal. There's too much at stake to do otherwise. And these men recognized that. They saw that clearly. They recognized the value of what they had found. And I wonder tonight if we really understand the value of what is being placed before us by Christ tonight through the gospel. Secondly, these men were similar in the sense that they were determined to have this treasure. And I'm sure that you will all agree that anyone who becomes aware of a treasure that is available to him or to her and just sits there in the hope that somehow someone will come along and give them that treasure would be very foolish. I remember a number of years ago, I was a treasurer of the community association in Bernera, and we were building a new hall. And we knew that there were grants available, so we got this huge book with names and addresses of grant-giving bodies. Now, we could quite easily have put the book on the table and sat there as a committee and said, well, now let's wait and see if someone will realize that we're looking for money for a new hall and send us a check. That would have been really crazy, wouldn't it? No, we didn't do that. We opened up the book and we started reading and we started filling in forms and applying. We set them off and we got something, I don't know, a lot of money. Here's a book. And in here are all the details that we need. The Word of God tells us what we need. And in here is hidden treasure and pearls of great price. Here in here is Jesus Christ, who is the hidden treasure, who is the pearl of great price. There's a book that tells us all about it. And here's the verse again. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And again, are you sitting with this book in the hope that somehow something is going to happen? What does God say? Ask and see and knock. So the men recognized the value of this treasure and this pearl, and they were determined to have it. And thirdly, the men were willing to give up everything that they had to have this treasure. They sold everything they had, and they bought the land and the pearl, because they realized that nothing else that they had, possessions or money or property, meant anything if they didn't have this treasure. They realized that anything else they had in this world was in one sense worthless unless they had this treasure and this pearl. They were prepared to part with everything in order to have it. Now, does this mean that we can buy our way into the kingdom of heaven? Does this mean that the message here is to come and buy your way in? Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. The crucial message is make sure that you don't allow anything else in all the world to become more precious to you than your need to enter God's kingdom. Put aside everything else that would stand in the way of your salvation or in the way of you coming to know Jesus Christ, like property or possessions or whatsoever, for they are not treasures at all if they stop you from entering the kingdom of God. We cannot buy our way into the kingdom of God because the price for entrance has already been paid. Not only do we not have the wherewithal to buy our way, it's not necessary because the entrance fee has already been paid. I'm reminded of a story of a young boy who went to church, and his mum gave him a 50 pence for the collection. And he went off to the church and he came back and he still had his 50 pence. And the mum says, "Did you not put the collection in the plate?" "Oh, no, mum," he said. "I was quite lucky," he said. "When I was coming to the church, he was coming along the road with Grandad, and he paid me in." We can't pay our way in because it's already been paid. Christ has paid the price. But it will cost us in one sense. Because we are called to repent of sin, we are called by God to turn away from our sins. We saw that on Saturday morning. All that associates us with the first Adam, as we look in our own hearts and lives and see the sinfulness and the disobedience and the stuff that really is bad and that separates us from a holy God, we are called by God to repent, to turn away from that, to get rid of anything that stands between us and him, because nothing is more precious than his love in Christ. It's not enough just to know about it. It's not enough just to understand its value. We need to lay hold upon it. We need to appropriate this for ourselves. And that's what these men did, and that's the last similarity. They acquired the treasure. They laid hold on it. What does that really mean? Well, we need to lay hold on this through repentance and faith and trusting and believing that Jesus Christ, when he says, "I have died for your sins," and on as Ian said in the most wonderful way this morning, God, when we trust in Christ, forgets. He throws our sins and casts them into the sea of his forgetfulness. He has the power to erase them as if they never happened. What a wonderful, wonderful, precious gift. What could be more precious? As I look back on my own life and see again the sins and the mess and the stuff that's there that I've done, and yet I can believe God's word that he says it is forgotten. It is washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. What price could he pay for that? But we have to lay hold on it, and we have, what does that mean? What does it mean to lay hold on the gospel of the kingdom of God? Well, we need with our mind to believe Christ. We need to believe what he says, accept his word as being the truth. We need to believe in him, trust him as our Savior. With our mind we grasp hold, we lay hold of the truth of the gospel. With our hearts we lay hold of the love of the gospel and we respond. We let the truth of God's love for us in Christ drop from our minds to our hearts, knowing that we are loved more than we could ever begin to imagine. With our wills, we obey him. We make an out-and-out commitment to Jesus. We need to make a wholehearted response that understands the value of what is on offer here tonight. Our souls are at stake. We've made that clear. Jesus makes that clear, that we can lose our souls. And that there is nothing on earth that can possibly compensate us for that. Gary Kildholt didn't realize how big the deal was, and he lost out big style. And I wonder tonight where we stand with that. I have no words that can convince you. The Holy Spirit has to convince you of the truth of this. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would apply these words of Christ to your hearts. And that tonight you would see what a big deal this is. Not only in what you can lose, but what you can gain. If the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. You ask, is it possible that 90% of the population are going to miss out on this deal? As we said, probably 90% of our community is not in church tonight and has really no desire to be here and sees no big deal in all of this. And you ask, is it possible that 90% of the population of this country are going to miss out on this deal because they don't think it's important, because they don't accept what is at stake, because they don't believe the word of God? Yes, it's possible. I pray that it's not the case. But it's not about human opinion. It's about the word of God. You see, I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, 99% of the population of the world thought that the earth was flat, while Isaiah spoke about the circle of the earth. 99% of the world's population was wrong, and their opinion didn't change the shape of the earth, not by 1 centimeter. Please don't let people's opinions stop you from engaging with the word of God and discovering for yourselves that this is the truth and that there is a great treasure and a pearl of great price and that this is a big deal. Jesus says again, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have we recognized tonight that a treasure is being offered to us? The salvation of our souls freely offered to us if we just come to Christ, turn from our sins and trust in his work on the cross. Or are we saying, well, no, that's too much. I don't really think that's a good deal. That means I have to give up A, B, C, D. Well, whatever you're holding on to tonight, and it's stopping you from coming to Christ, I hope it's worth it, because it's a big deal. And if you prepare to put your soul at stake for something that this world is offering you, then I would say you need to rethink and to ask God to show you. Maybe you're saying to God, no, the cost is too great. Whether it be in relationships that you have, maybe there's somebody who you know in your family or in your life who would, I don't know, maybe even not speak to you if you become a Christian. I don't know, maybe there's something with your relationship that's stopping you. And you're saying, oh, the cost is too great. This morning we looked at the cross of Calvary. If tonight you want to turn to God and say, I'm sorry, Lord, but the cost is just too much, then turn. God will point you to Calvary and say, look at the cross and see what it cost me. I have given everything for you and my son Jesus Christ. As I said, I can't convince you. I can't change your hearts. Only the Spirit can do that. But I believe with all my heart that this is the truth, and I believe it because I know this is God's word, and I believe it because it's my own testimony, it's my own experience in life. When I turned to Christ, when I accepted and acknowledged my sins and sought forgiveness and sought new life, Christ came in and changed my life. And maybe Lucy and I will share some of that testimony later on. But in the meantime, I just want to say to you again, Jesus Christ is here tonight. And again, focus on what that older elder said to Spurgeon as he sat in the gallery of that church. And again, I'm out of words, and I guess I'm quite glad. But all the old elder could say was, look to Jesus. And I say that again tonight. That's all I can say to you. Look to Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is here. And for one look at him, Charles Spurgeon was saved. And again, as I say, the rest is history. Gary Kildall lost out big style. I know money's not the most important thing, but he lost out because he didn't realize it was such a big deal. Tonight, I implore you, don't just walk away from Christ. Don't just go home. I did it so often. I would hear the word of God preached in the church, and it would go through to my heart, and by the time I got into the car and got home, I was more interested in a cup of tea than I was in my soul. Please don't do that. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for this hidden treasure, this pearl of great price. And we thank you, Lord, that you come again here tonight to offer this hidden treasure, this pearl of great price. Help us, Lord, to understand, first of all, the value of this, what you are offering us, the salvation of our souls. Help us, Lord God, also to understand that the price has already been paid, that we have to receive a gift. Help us to understand that what is required of us is repentance and faith, to trust in, to turn from sin and to believe in Christ. Help us, Lord, just to open our hearts to your Spirit. Because the important thing is not that we are seeking you, but that you are seeking us, and that you are in here tonight doing just that. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. We'll conclude our service by singing in Mission Praise 708. Mission Praise 708. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. He yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Let's sing together. To God be the glory. And now may grace and mercy and peace from Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, rest upon us and remain with us, now and evermore.